Heaven, we come before you this morning, thankful for this opportunity to hear from you, dear Lord God. Father, these great people, they did not come to hear from me, they came to hear from you. I thank you for speaking a word in season to them that are weary, that my teaching, Heavenly Father, is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it is a demonstration and manifestation of your spirit and of power. Father, I pray for our congregation, but not us alone, Father God. Right up the street is Grace Baptist, Heavenly Father. Bless them today. Down the street, Heavenly Father, is Crossroads. Right next door is Corona Friends, dear Lord God. Father, there's North Point. There's Living Truth. There's Connection Church, Heavenly Father. Lord, I just thank you for pouring your spirit out upon all the churches here, the Baptist churches, the Methodist churches, Father God, and Presbyterian and Lutherans, dear Lord God. Bless us today. Bless the congregants. Bless the attendees, Heavenly Father. And I thank you that all of us have ears to hear what your spirit is saying. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. So today we're gonna conclude our message deeper. Say deeper.
Deeper.
Deeper. Okay. And so Matthew 23, verse 23, that's going to be our text for today. And this reading from the New Living Translation, I need you guys to really see this. Now, just before I get into that deeper, we've been looking at just increasing your relationship with God. And that's really the focal point for today. How can I develop a deeper relationship with my Creator, with my Heavenly Father? And let's look at this. Matthew 23:23. It says, "What sorrow awaits you teachers?" I want to stop there for a second. What sorrow awaits teachers? The teachers. Think about it for a moment. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees? These are people that taught the word. They knew the word, and in order to teach it, you got to know it. But there was sorrow awaiting them. And this is kind of funny, something to really think about, because we just kind of feel that if I'm a pastor or if I'm up here that I got it together. No, that's why I'm always checking my heart. I don't want to assume anything. It says here, hypocrites. Now, hypocrites means mask wearer. Wear of a mask, okay? You're fronting, you're perpetrating, you're trying to look one particular way, okay? So you look like your teaching got it all together, but what is going on behind the scenes? If you ever want to do a reality show, I'm so okay with it. If you want to follow me around, you'll be bored, but if you want to follow me around, I'm cool with it, because I already made a decision. The way I live publicly is the way I'm going to live privately. Just made the decision. So, in fact, they wouldn't even put my TV, you can follow me around, you can put it on TV because there's nothing. You're going to be like, this dude, he's boring. Okay. And that's fine. You might think it's boring. I love my life. I love my wife. I love my kids. We have a great time. I'm good. Okay. It's my life. But here's the thing. I've made a decision. I'm not going to fake it. It says here, "For you are careful," talking to the religious leaders, the teachers at that time, "you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens." So what these guys do, and rightfully so, they would give 10% of whatever they increased in. Elder Kelvin, well, let him do that when he receives offering. But here we go. "For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income," and we should tithe. We should give 10% of whatever we have to the Lord. And some of you say, well, that's the Old Testament, and you come up with stuff. And what I always ask myself is, why do I feel what I feel? Because when you find yourself in resistance, it's like, what am I in resistance to? Why don't I want to do that? Now, if you sit in a hospital sick, you're going to want the Lord to give you his all. What if he says, I ain't really got time for you. I'm going to just give you a little bit of something. A little bit of, would you want that? But then that's the attitude that we have. So let's say even if tithing went out with the Old Testament, with the law, I don't believe it did. But let's say that did happen. Why wouldn't you still give God 10%? What does it say about your heart? Why wouldn't you do it? This is not a message about tithing. Just a little nugget right there, okay? Here we go. Now, here's the thing about tithing. It says, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law. My point here is that tithing is great, but tithing is elementary. That's just the beginning. And some of us are struggling with that. So what does that really say about us? If you can't trust God with 10%, where really is your faith? It says without faith, it's impossible to please him. So here's the thing. He says, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. That's more important than tithing? Yeah, according to Jesus. Jesus is speaking here. And so it's really, how do we have justice towards people? Are you really able to exercise justice towards someone and they've done something wrong to you? It's all about your feelings. Because if you're on the other side, you want somebody to forgive you. You sure would. Mercy. Can you be merciful? And merciful is not giving somebody something that they deserve. Yeah, they did it wrong. Yeah, they deserve to be bust upside their head. But you don't have to. And then what about faith? That's more important. That's more important. And you say, well, that's more important than tithing. Well, here's the thing. Tithing is just giving God back what is his. You haven't done anything. You know, I loan people stuff. I expect to get it back. Think about it. Man, that's my lawnmower. When you bring my lawnmower back? You said you're going to use it to cut your grass. Now you finished cutting it. Bring me my lawnmower. Right? That's mine. And that's the thing about the tithe. The tithe belongs to God. So you really haven't done anything other than giving him what's his back. And I mentioned his first service. Now, I'll go there again real quick. Here's the thing about the tithing, though. Tithing always keeps things going, especially even like in a local church. How do we pay the bills? We dim the lights, turn up the lights. Dim the light. You know what? Lights cost money. We cannot tell Edison, Southern California Edison, that, well, you know, we're full of the Holy Spirit. Edison don't care about no Holy Spirit. They got to pay their employees also. Just everything else. You guys come here, if you notice that, you know, just you look around. Stuff has to be taken care of. You know, I came in the office not too long ago, and I told Elder Joyce, like, you know, the carpet at some, y'all, somebody spilled soda, whatever, coffee, whatever, on the carpet. It needs to be clean. Needs to be clean. So we call a carpet cleaner. He's like, well, you know, y'all are church, so I ain't going to charge y'all. No, he got rent to pay. You following me? If you call a church, the office, you expect to get a hold of us, don't you? But the phone ain't on. Because you ain't paid no tithe. So if everybody gave 10%, we wouldn't have any issues. Do you know a week doesn't go by? Maybe it's happened a few times that somebody didn't call me, ask me for money. Got a guy in Haiti, sent me all the pictures of his orphanages, all them little poor kids. The people in Mozambique where the cyclone just hit, I got pictures that people, left and right people are asking. And our big news in Corona last week, we had hell. Hell, did y'all see all the rain? That's the biggest issue we've had. So if you can understand the purpose of your giving. I mentioned first service, firemen. If we didn't pay taxes, your house burning down, who would come? You and your neighbors with some water hoses? Think about it. So the purpose of the taxes is to provide certain services to us. Do you get that? Does that make sense? It's the same thing with the kingdom of God. It's the same thing with the kingdom of God. But let's get going. It's not about tithing, okay? It says here, you should tithe. Yes, say yes. But do not neglect the more important things. There are things that are more important, justice, mercy, and faith. And these things are really deeper than just tithing. But I need you to tithe, but I also need you to have these in your life, justice, mercy, and faith. Here is my bullet point, the first one. God cares deeply about people. He cares about people. Now, some of you guys have that people-oriented personality, like my wife. You're sweet and kind, and we got a marriage thing we're doing tonight, a workshop that we're finishing up from last week. And one of the ladies, a real nice lady, she said, who else is coming? And it's funny because she cares about people. I looked at her husband. I said, did you think about who's coming? He's like, well, I ain't thought about nobody. I'm just going to show up myself. And so there are those that have this propensity to care about others. And that's awesome. That's wonderful. Great. But you guys is kind of coming up short like me. Okay, you still got to step your game up. Since 2001, Jack and I have not stopped tithing. We got to Zoe. We got plugged in from, like, I would say April, May of 2001. We've never missed tithing. In fact, we give about 16% of our income to the church, to the kingdom. Okay. Over and above the 10. That's just been our average. Sometimes it was up 19, 20%. Okay, just depends on how things are going. But here's my point. We haven't missed that since 2001. Everybody's like, good, he's a tithe, he's a believer, but I got to be merciful. I got to exercise justice. I have to, that has to be expressed to me also. If I'm going to really love God, I got to be about God. Yes. And what he's about and what's important to him. Because in a relationship, sometimes we find ourselves with somebody who just is there just when they want something from us. Can I have that first picture, please? Now, look at this photo. Look at this photo. What is wrong with her? What's bothering her? You said him. Where's his focus? Now, I think about this, too, because I look at this guy. I look at this guy, and you know, that's me sometime, and the lady there, that's God. God's like, where's Tony? He's not spending no time with me, not praying with me. And see, what you guys think, like, okay, well, Pastor Tony, he spoke at a church the other day. He was at this board meeting, and he worked with the foster kids on Tuesday nights. He's doing all this and that. Yeah, but what about time with God? What's the first thing you reach for in the mornings? Cell phone. Is God on your cell phone? Did he send you a text? Did God, you check God's Facebook post? Oh, no, it's God on Instagram, right? You go to God's Instagram, at God.something, all right? Right, is that what? Seriously, again, don't hear any criticism. That's not what this is about. I want you to draw closer to him and have a deeper relationship, because let me ask you something. How deep does that relationship look right there? And some of you guys saying, like, okay, typical man. Next one, please, Lavelle. Ha! Sisters, y'all can be focused on stuff too. Think about it. You can. And God's in the background like, what? I love that. You did a message or you did a Bible study. Something about coffee with God. One time we were talking about, Minister Malcolm was talking about, maybe we were just talking, but you gave in. What I walked away with, I don't know what you said, but what I heard was that you imagine yourself having a cup of coffee with God. And you know, when you're having a cup of coffee with people, and especially like you've seen like a movie where, you know, as the couple is going through some hard times or whatever, and maybe the lady goes over to a friend's house and it's 1 a.m. and her friend gets up out of bed and they say, girl, let me put on some coffee. Let's sit down and let's talk about this. Let's connect. Let's spend some time with one another. And that's what we need to do. But what happens a lot of times, we get so focused on me, mine. When my daddy said something once, and I talk about my father and all the stuff that we've been through, and he did a lot of wrong things and all that. And, you know, we, at the end of his life, we were tight. We were buds. But I remember I started going to Crenshaw Christian Center, and I was so exciting, and I'm listening, I'm growing. And then my daddy went through my Bible, because I'm a Bible highlighting, tape recording, CD buying brother. I mean, me and my wife kept that bookstore at Zoe open because we was buying. And Jack would go in and buy 10, 15 CDs of the message and pass them out at work. I mean, so we didn't keep it, but you see my point. So here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. My dad went through my Bible one time, and he told my brother, he says, look at Tony's Bible. Every passage he has highlighted is self-serving. My God shall supply all my needs. It's about me, Pastor Todd. That was rightfully so, because me and Jackie were broke. We filed bankruptcy. I needed to stand on that scripture. I claim that one. That's what I'm standing on. That's my confession. I'm confessing over my finances. You know, you fill out this is how we used to do it old school. You fill out the tithing, the giving envelope, and we write whatever verse you're standing on and touch and agree. Hey, brother, touch and agree with me in this before I put this in here for the return on my giving. We was running with that. And everything was self-centered. She's laughing. I'm serious. But that's how we create our own spirituality. And so I was so that. But here's the thing, it was all about me. All about me. My gosh, just blow my knees. Because greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Because see, I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Wherever I go, blessings just come down and overtake me. I'm a child of the Most High God. All of that is true, but all of that is elementary. All of that is juvenile. All of that is just a beginning. If you really want to get serious about God, then you got to be about His business. Jesus said this, I did not come to be served. I came to serve and to give my life. That word life is the word psyche, my mind, my will, my emotions. I'm going to lay down my life for my brother, because greater love have no man in this, and he will give up his life for his brother. Jesus also said, you try to hold on to your life, your mind, your will, your emotions, your psyche, you're going to lose it. That's how people have nervous breakdowns. You get so bit that it has to be this way. You lose your mind because somebody didn't put the fork in the right thing and the knife over here and you're coming apart over that. Somebody get a spot on your car, you having a conniption over that? That's getting you? If you can't handle, I'm way off. Okay, Proverbs 24:10. Proverbs 24:10, go there. And you said, well, Pastor, what'd you say first service? Go online and listen to it. Okay, look, just stay with me on this one, okay? Proverbs 24:10. I want you to see this, because this is what happens with a lot of us. Here it is. If you fell under pressure, your strength is too small. Stuff gets to you, just come apart. Why? 34 years. Do you know there's not a day? It's every day Jackie does something I don't want her to do. Well, I wish she hadn't done every day. Is Jackie a bad person? No, we're just different. And I know the same thing. I noticed, I know, because I've seen it, because she can't control emotions as good as I control mine. It shows up on her face. She'll go, I see her try to pull it back and hold it together. I'm like, all right, I messed up again, didn't I? She's like, yeah, you did. But then we keep moving forward.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Keep moving forward. Because here's the thing. This is God's daughter.
Yes.
And once I got that revelation, she ain't my wife. She ain't the kid's mom. This is God's daughter.
Yes.
Some people I ain't going to bother. Some people I ain't going to mess with. Some people, I'm just not. I had a little friend. His name is Granville Halls, H-A-W-E-S. You want to look him up on Facebook? He's there. Okay. I'm just playing. We grew up together. Granville had an afro that Michael Jackson and Tito and the mothers, they couldn't touch Granville's afro. Granville had an afro of all afros. Granville would wear dress shoes every day to school. He was so clean. And he was one of the three or four guys in school that was smaller than me, though. He was a player. Loved the girls. That was another guy, and I can't think of his name right now, but he won. You think he was number two or number three in Mr. Compton, because he was so buff. He won at our school, but I don't think he won for the whole district, but he was so buff. Can't remember. He's dead right now. He was shot in the face because he was a drug dealer, okay? Like 3 or 4 months after we graduated from high school, somebody blasted him. But anyway, but the thing is this, is that one day, I don't know why, but I was standing on the benches, the table. You know, I'm standing on the table for some reason, not where you eat. I'm standing there talking to some people. I don't know why I'm standing. And I look up and I see Granville running. Now, the thing about Granville, it's so funny because he's not that athletic. He looks good, but he ain't athletic. So he kind of running. And it's like, what's Halls? I call him Halls. What's Halls doing? And behind him was the buff dude. Granville ran up to a bench, put his hands down. That dude came and just began to bust Granville in the head. And I'm like, ooh, it was bad. And so I already knew what was wrong, though. I ain't psychic. I wasn't full of the Holy Spirit. I just knew what was wrong. He didn't mess with that dude's girl. That dude was hot. Granville got the snot beat out of him that day. He was still so cool. Even all busted, he's still trying to. You just got whooped. Point is this. If I'm going to go deeper with God, the things that matter to God have to begin to matter to me. She matters to God. When God made man, he took the dirt, he squeezed it together. Literally, it's like you know that little ashtray or that little cup you have at home that your kindergartner made for you from clay? You still got it. You're still proud. You're so proud of your baby, okay? That's literally how God made us. But then, if you have ever been to Knott's Berry Farm, And you see how the glassmaker, how the craftsmanship that goes in, how he blows it and he forms it, all the different colors is so beautiful. And when the Bible says that God made woman, that's the same word that craftsmanship went into making woman. I was squeezed from clay, man was, and that you guys were crafted. And see that glass, what do? We put it up on the shelf. We don't play with that. My godsons, Kingston and Champion, they come over. And they run around the house, they run and run, and they're tired, they're sweating. Baba, can I have some water? They call me Baba. Baba, can I have some water? Yeah. They don't get those nice glasses. They get the 49-cent cups from Target. Because I know my godsons. In a minute, they're going to be throwing the cups at each other. I know my godsons, okay? So you have to care for God, precious heart, the things that matter to him, because it says this. Okay, Lavelle, let's flow. Deuteronomy 24:5. Again, go online, listen to first service, because I'm on a total different. Deuteronomy 24:5. It says this. A newly married man must not be drafted into the army or be given any other official responsibilities. He must be free to spend 1 year at home bringing happiness to the wife he's married. And fellas, I know right now you're feeling bothered. It's like, one, I can't afford it. I know, but another part of you guys are saying is like, well, what does he got to do to me? Nothing. And I done searched the Bible. I tried. This is it. We were created to take care of them. 1 year. To bring happiness. And it looks different for each lady. It looks different for each one. Jackie, I can't buy her gifts. That doesn't work for her. I can take her shopping. That's not her flow. Jackie's is words of affirmation. As long as I just affirm her, give her words, either through cards, we were going somewhere, and she was irritated. It was something she got in the car. And what I did, because I got Bluetooth, I pulled up on YouTube, Ain't No Woman Like the One I Got. And so it's, she was hot, and, you know, but I didn't know I had done something wrong. You know, it's one of them times, like, I did. But she came downstairs, and you know, she got in the car, and we got in the car, and I was setting it up. But then I could tell she was hot when I got in the car. I'm like, okay, what do I do now? So I just hit play. Ain't no woman like the one I got. And come back. Some of y'all done backslid already. Come back. Come back. Come back. Come back. But then she looked at me and the biggest smile, because it was words of affirmation. Yes. So even when you get your woman, you got to know how does she want to be loved? Because that's not going to work for everybody. Some people are like, you better turn that off. You ain't took me shopping. You know they got a sale on at Macy's. What's up? You know, so if that's your wife, you better get that. You better get on to Macy's. Okay. But that's what we're called to do. They're precious to God. They are. Let's do another one. 18 Proverbs 8. What is it? Where's death and life in the power of the tongue? That's 1822, Lavelle. Proverbs 1822. The man who finds a wife finds a what? Old school King James says a good thing, but a treasure. So what is my wife? So now you say, Pastor, what does it have to do with our deeper? Okay, I'm not in my notes. Just flow with me, okay? You find a, yeah. Because now if she's a good thing or she's a treasure, how do you treat things that are important? But if you do it right, here's the thing. You obtain favor. I need favor. Favor, sometimes favor gets you stuff that money can't. Some people, I know people that make 80, 90 million a year. I mean, I know guys like that, you know what I mean? But so it's like, I there's nothing I can do for them. There's a guy, you know, I'm going to talk to Mike Rovern about coming to speak to our business people, okay? And he's great. Dude, we can't give Mike any money. Mike does $100 million a year. What are we going to give him? We had an actor one time come and you know, and I know what he makes. I know the TV shows he's been on. We gave him a fruit basket. You don't give him no money. But sometimes, here's the thing. Sometimes if money can't get you, you just need somebody to say yes. Somebody just to like me. Somebody just to have my back. Something. That's the favor. And I need that from God. So all I got to do is treat his daughter right. Malachi 2:12. Might be 13. 2:12 or 2:13. I'm not sure. No, 13. Okay, here's another thing you do. Because God is like, God is like, bam, here's something else you tripping on. Something else you coming up short. Watch this. Here's another thing you do. You cover the Lord's altars with tears, weeping and groaning because he pays no attention to your offerings. Wait a minute. Does not the Bible say, if you give, it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. They're going to sing that in just a few minutes, by the way, okay? Running over. Isn't that what Luke 6:38 says? Genesis 8:22 says, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. And we look outside. Let me just make sure. I don't lose my mind. Earth is still there. So as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. It says that, right? Galatians 6:9-10, it says that whatsoever man sows, that shall he reap. But this guy is giving and is not coming back. And not only that, he says he doesn't accept them with pleasure. What's up, God? Next verse, please. You cry out, why doesn't the Lord accept my worship, my offering? Because your giving is worship, by the way, okay? I tell you why. Because the Lord witnessed the vows you and your wife made when you were young, but you have been on. You've been unfaithful. And some of you are like, well, I ain't never cheated. Okay, let me have the amplified version. Because this is what unfaithful means. Let me show you. But you say, why does he reject it? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, against you whom you have dealt treacherously. Wow. It's the Bible. And so you say, well, Pastor, what if she tripping? What if she does that? I just make a decision. I'm going to serve God no matter what Jackie does. Make a decision. Who is it about? You want to go deeper in your relationship with God? Serve God. And I can't base my relationship on God based on how Jackie is being with me. I can't. I just decided. Because sometimes Jackie's the most amazingly pleasant, kind, sweet person on this planet. She is. She is just awesome. Hallelujah. Yeah, you heard what I didn't say. Yes, she is your marriage companion and the wife of your covenant. It's an agreement. Okay, let's keep going. 1 Peter 3:7. I need to amplify it on this one too. And don't amplify because I really want you to get it. Obviously, service is going to be totally different. That other song you guys are going to sing right after I finish, we ain't going to be able to sing that song. Just heads up, everybody just chill. Just different flow today. Watch this. In the same way you husbands live with your wives in a... Proverbs 4:7 says, what I like getting, get understanding. And with great gentleness and tact. And I love this part with an intelligent regard for the marriage relationship. Intelligence means this. You know, how we know what's going on in North Korea? How now they're rebuilding the nuclear stuff? You know how we know? Because we spy on them. We gather intelligence. We have the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency. We got them satellites, we got spies, we gather intelligence. And the more intelligence we have, the better decisions we can make, the better we can defend ourselves, right? So it's the same thing with our wives. So I have to pay attention to her. My wife talks a lot more than me. Think about it. You guys that know me, generally, if we spend time together, I get to the point, I'm going home. This is the most you're going to hear me talk. Hallelujah. And often I've learned, but if I would just listen, I pick up stuff. And my mind just, I bring it back. I got to. Intelligent regard for the marriage relationship. Watch this. As with someone, next one, please. Physically weaker. She's physically weaker since she is a woman. Watch this. Show her honor. Early, the first service, what happened with Minister Duane, he says, and I know my great Pastor Tony, and he says some stuff, and he says, and our amazing first lady. And you said, and his first lady. And I said, hold on, hold up. She's my only lady. Because if she's first, that might be a second. Not going out like that, okay? Yeah, just one and only. This is it. The death do us part. Show her honor and respect as the fellow heir of the grace of life. She's partners. Have you guys noticed I always say me and Jackie, me and Jackie, me and Jackie? But do you know that 90% of what happens is I do it, not her? Almost everything we do is me. And she's like, oh, that's good. And she's holding me. Yeah, come on, let's go. You know what I'm saying? Me and Jackie taking a team to Israel. Have you talked to the tour company in Israel yet? It's been me. But the reason I'm being real is because it says we're fellow heirs. And as I read that and get that revelation, oh, we are one. Yes, yes. We are one. And I got to show you this one so that your prayers will not be or ineffective. So, you know, a couple of years ago, we had these fires in Corona. Remember the fires? Everything's burning up. And I'm sitting there treating Jackie like dog poop, and all of a sudden, I'm asking God to save my house. You ever wonder why? You look at one of them aerial maps, you see just devastation, all the houses burned or a tornado been through, and there's one or two houses still standing. I wonder, what were they doing that they were divinely protected? 1,000 at my left, 10,000 at my right, but none shall not come near me. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. What are you saying of the Lord? Is he your refuge? Or you got your own way of putting things together. You got your own way of figuring it out. Last one, Isaiah 50. 10. Isaiah 50, verse 10. New Living Translation, Nelson. Watch this. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys his servant? If you're walking in the darkness without a ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. What does he mean, Pastor? Let's look at verse 11. Watch this. But watch out. You who live in your own light. See, there's something so important to you guys. She better respect me. She better honor me. She better. You know what? I've learned something. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But watch out, you who live by your own light and warm yourselves by your own fires. You've come up with your own way of how things should be. You picked it up from your own personal experience, from your mom when she mistreated you, from your dad when he abused you, or your uncle when he touched you. And I'm not belittling that. But you develop your own way of thinking. Self-survival, self-preservation. I get it. I get it. But then you come into the things of God, and you want to hold on to that. It's not going to work in the kingdom. It's not going to work in the kingdom. When we talk about assimilation, people assimilating to society, you got to let go of whatever country you came from if you really want to be a productive member of America. We get in that sense, it's the same thing with the kingdom. Watch this. This is a reward for me. But watch out, you who live. But watch out, you who live in your own light and warm yourselves by your own fires. This is the reward you will receive from me. You will soon fall down in great torment. I don't go out in torment. Because when I was growing up in the hood, you don't be, man, don't be letting that woman do that to you, man. You better put her in check. Bros before hoes. Bros before hoes. Bros before hoes. Who you call? You calling God a child a hoe? And you wouldn't want to fight somebody if they called your mama a hoe. Think about that for a minute. You ready to fight. But you see, we got our own fires, our own way of thinking, our own way of doing things. Oh, I got some street. And that's my issue with rap music. My issue, well, not all of it, but some of it. Some of it's funny. But some of it's like, oh, just how it is in the hood. It doesn't have to be. Well, the white man did this a long time ago. At what point are you going to get healed? Amen. How long are you going to keep carrying sorrow and pain and all that? That wasn't even yours. I have yet to have a white man take a whip and hit me. Never happened. Never happened. And it's jacked up. I read just like you read. But at some point, you got to step into it. You know, Jesus' name, amen.